Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. I am Jim Dolan, your host for the hour. We'll start off the show this week with an episode of Broadway Is My Beat. This is called Dr. Robbie McClure Murder Case. It's from 1949.
The FBI in Peace and War, ordinarily heard at this time throughout the year, is taking its usual summer vacation and will return to CBS 4 weeks from tonight on September 1st.
Broadway's my beat. From Times Square to Columbus Circle, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover.
Broadway, it's a promise you make to yourself in some dismal part of your life, or it's a name you say like a curse. It's a place of golden women in mirrors of chrome, or it's a beggar who will tear off a piece of his soul for a cup of coffee. It's anything you want, any time you want it, and it's My Beat. By 9 o'clock, police headquarters had settled down to its nighttime routine. So far, business was slow. I was sitting in my office straightening out the detail sheets that always accumulated on my desk.
Lieutenant Clover, good evening, sir.
Well, Dr. McClure, Dr. Robbie McClure, it's a pleasure to see you. Sit down, sit down.
Thank you. Thank you, Lieutenant.
Hey, what's the matter? What's the matter, Doctor? You look pale.
Well, I could give you all the clinical reasons for the way I look. Now... Now, Lieutenant...
Let me get you something, Doctor.
No, no, wait, Lieutenant. Last month, there was a shooting. It's not that I want to confess to. It's the thing about... you should know about... Last month, the murder that the police never solved. Daddy, I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want that...
Dr. McClure. Dr. McClure. Sergeant Tartaglia.
Yeah, Danny.
Come here.
Yeah. Well, what's the trouble, Danny?
Close the door.
Well, what's all... Danny, what's the matter with Doc McClure?
He's dead.
What?
Flip his coat aside. You'll see why.
Oh, Danny.
From the size of the wound, I'd say it was from a .22 fired from up close. Tartaglia.
Yeah?
Call downstairs and tell him about Dr. McClure. Then get a detail to find out everything you can about the doctor. Friends, relatives, bank account, everything.
Right.
And in the morning, I want the files on every murder that happened about 30 days ago. Unsolved murders. On my desk in the morning.
Right.
Good. I'll see you.
Now, where are you going, Danny?
I'm going to wind back McClure's life. I'm going to find out why he had to die. The great buildings of the city lean against the night in crazy, tilted angles, like lighted toys deserted by a sleepy giant. And there's the feeling that unless you walk carefully, you'll upset their insane balance. But Dr. Robbie McClure's office building was different. It sat square and solid on its haunches, and when you pressed the night buzzer, it growled at you.
Well, sure, my mare, but ain't any clover the turbot. Canter in, me boy, canter in.
Same old Pippin.
No, not the same, Danny. There are bald spots in me fetlock, and I ain't so quick to break from the starting gate like I used to. From a dashing, mounted policeman to a flabby night watchman. Ah, that's a bitter pasture, Danny, me boy, a bitter pasture.
Maybe you're wrong, Pippin. Maybe it's sweet pasture, and you don't know it. Pippin... You know Dr. Robbie McClure, don't you?
Sure, sure I do. A great surgeon. But ah, what a waste, what a waste.
How do you mean?
Sure he was a genius. Should he have been a veterinarian? What else would I mean, Danny?
What else, of course. Do you know what time he left his office tonight?
I do. I have it right here in my book. Now will I take a look? Oh, yeah. There it is. 8:40 in the PM.
Was he alone?
No. He was in the company of the sleekest, prettiest, raciest looking filly. It's been my pleasure since I cavorted and devoted police.
Did you have her signature?
Oh, no. She was the doctor's patient. Or guest, or best bet for tomorrow. Night watchmen are discreet, Danny. Some ladies, they don't ask to sign out.
Well, ask them from now on, Pippet.
Huh?
I mean it. Have you got any idea where they went?
No, Danny, but they took a cab from that hack stand out there in front.
Did you see whose cab they took?
Yes, I did. I did. I opened the door for them. They took Irv Newman's cab. If you want Irv, you'll probably find him at his home. I know those hacky scooters, you know.
Well, thanks, Pivot. If you get a lump of sugar in the mail, it's from me.
What do you want?
Hey, it's Danny.
Hi, Irv.
Hey, Rose, it's Danny.
Who?
Danny Clover of New York's finest.
Rose, gonna help me wash the dishes already?
Pay no attention to Rose, Danny. She's moody tonight. Come on in.
Thanks, Irv.
Now, sit down, Danny, sit down.
Irv,
I offer you something? A glass of tea, a cold beer? I got it. How about one of Rose's blintzes, huh? Hey, Rose.
Never mind, Irv. Don't bother Rose.
What's the bother? Even if she's moody, she can't razzle you up a blint.
Oh, I'm here on business, Irv. Some other time.
Oh, business. Hey, Rose.
Huh?
Come here.
Huh?
Shut off Caruso.
Huh?
Make quiet Caruso.
Hurt you, Caruso?
Caruso. Now we'll talk, Danny. What kind of business brings you down here to Orchard Street, the land of the Knish and the Bagel?
Pippet told me you drove Dr. McClure somewhere tonight, Irv. Where'd you drive him?
Park Avenue. Yeah, here's the address, Danny. I was just making out my records.
Thanks. Was he alone?
At first, no. Later, yes.
Translation?
First, he is with a doll. Oh. Lean over, Danny. Rose shouldn't hear. A Zoftic-type doll. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Then he is without the doll. Around 50, she opens the door of the hack and slips out into the traffic. McClure tells me to keep going. I think they had an argument.
What about it?
Danny, I'm the type to eavesdrop, especially when they shut that glass panel.
The address Irv Newman gave me was a study in millionaire respectability, Scrub Park Avenue, Brownstone. The butler took my hat and sighed and told me it was all right to go down the corridor into the living room if I tiptoed. I did. Then all of a sudden it hit me, the light from a couple hundred bulbs set in a crystal chandelier. When I finally squinted through it, I couldn't quite believe it. It wasn't the size of the room. That was only about 100 yards long. It was the walls, from ceiling to floor, and all the way, the walls were decked with murals, Mother Goose murals. Paintings of every fairy tale and nursery rhyme character in the book. And on the floor, smack dab between Marjorie Dawn or Seesaw and Jack and his Beanstalk, sat a man. He was wearing three things, a goatee, a full dress, and a beanie, three propeller type.
Well, hello there.
And a hello to you.
My butler said your name was Danny Clover. But my butler lies. What is your name, sir?
Danny Clover.
You see what I mean? Grab a toy out of the toy box, sir, and sit down.
Mr. Fletcher...
Here, take my latest product. Child psychologists claim it's remarkable for improving the coordination and tactile responses of a four-year-old.
Really? Has it helped you?
Immeasurably. We place the ball in the cup, so.
Uh-huh.
Then we squeeze this lever, so.
Yep.
Then we catch the ball. Oops, we missed.
Oh, I guess we overestimated ourselves. Now, Mr. Fletcher...
Oh, well, call me Fletch. Don't stand on ceremony just because I'm the president.
Oh, does Margaret know?
Huh? Oh, no. I mean the president of the Fletcher Toy Company. I make toys for children, sir. I bring gay bits of sunshine into their otherwise drab little lives. And, as you see, I test my products before I market them. Incidentally, sir, what is your business?
Police?
Police!
Stop your screaming. You'll wake up Snow White over there.
Sir, what right have you to be in my house?
Well, technically none, Mr. Fletcher, but there's a little matter of...
A matter of invasion of privacy. What do you want?
Was Dr. McClure here this evening? Dr. Robin McClure?
In a word, yes.
Why was he here?
I'm his patient. Is that a good medicinal reason?
Simply sterile. Are you a sick man, Mr. Fletcher? You don't look sick.
Dr. McClure says I'm a hypochondriac. But he gives me pills. I take them. They make me feel better. Ergo... I must have been sick before I took the pills.
One more thing, Mr. Fletcher. Who was with Dr. McClure?
I beg your pardon?
Or maybe she stayed in the cab that brought him here. Who was she, Mr. Fletcher?
Oh, that one. Yes. I peeked out the window and saw her waiting in the cab. Oh, beautiful, isn't she? Oh, striking. One of the most striking women I ever saw.
I blew at the top propeller in Fletcher's beanie, and then the butler came in and ushered me out in the downdraft. Lying must have been one of the little games they played in that million-dollar house. Fletch said the butler lied. Then Fletcher lied about a girl he hadn't seen, a girl who was a question mark or an answer in the murder of Dr. Robbie McClure. If I was going to wind back McClure's life, I needed some sleep. All that got wound up were the sheets in my bed. And in the morning, I started it all over again in the good doctor's office.
You're early. The doctor hasn't come in yet. You'll have to wait.
Everything about her was anonymous. The white shoes, the white stockings, the starched white uniform, the starched white face, and the mouth, scarlet and thin, that she wore like a ribbon of merit.
You're a new patient? Fill out this card, please.
Not a patient. The police. Lieutenant Danny Clover, Broadway Special Detail.
Oh? Did Dr. McClure ask you to come here?
You could say it that way. I'm here to investigate his death.
What? You mean something happened to him?
He died in my office. He was murdered.
I don't believe.
Oh, I'm sorry you had to be told like that, but we don't always have time to be gentle. You were his nurse, Miss...
Elliot. June Elliot. I have an agglutination test to make on some Rh negative blood, Lieutenant. May I do that while you investigate?
Go right ahead. Where do I find the doctor's patient records?
In that metal file box.
You've been with the doctor long, Miss Elliot?
3 years. Pardon me, Lieutenant, I need that slide.
It's the usual question. Did he have any enemies?
You knew him. What do you think, Lieutenant?
Doesn't matter what I think.
He was a fine man. Generous and kind. I'll need that microscope.
Oh, sorry. This is strange.
In the patient's file? What strange, Lieutenant?
This card has a name and a date. All the other cards are filled with case histories. All this has is a name and a date. Dorothy Rivers, June 29th. Isn't that strange, Miss Elliot?
The files were the doctor's responsibility. He had his own way of keeping.
Then you don't know anything about a patient named Dorothy Rivers or this date?
Nothing, Lieutenant.
May I take this with me?
You're the police. You do anything you like. I'll have to turn the lights out now, Lieutenant, for the test.
Go ahead, Miss Elliot. Go ahead. This will do for now. And thank you, Miss Elliot.
Goodbye, Lieutenant. Miss Rivers? Miss Dorothy Rivers? Dr. McClure's office. We advise a rest, a long rest in a quiet place.
You are listening to Broadway's My Beat with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover. If murder should suddenly explode in your face, you'd know how Casey, crime photographer, feels tonight in the drama titled Sellout. That's exactly what happens to Casey. A routine newspaper case suddenly erupts into a savage murder mystery, which requires the sharpest thinking and fastest action of the crime photographer to solve. Crime Photographer is yours for the listening every Thursday evening, as is the other thriller, Escape. Tonight, Escape brings you Leiningen versus the Ants. A top story of harrowing adventure on a top program. Remember Escape and Crime Photographer tonight over most of these same CBS stations. Now, back to Broadway's My Beat.
There's this thing about Broadway. It can tickle you under the chin and make clucking noises, or it can slap your heart across the mouth and laugh. Either way, you get hurt. Right now, the receiving end of the slap was the police department for various and sundry unsolved murders. And the laugh, the big laugh, the cold laugh was that a man named Dr. Robbie McClure had come to my office to die, and I didn't know who'd killed him. I sat at my desk at headquarters tearing the tabloids into a noose of paper dolls when Sergeant Tartaglia opened the door, and with a fine Italian flourish, lay a thick paper-bound file in front of me.
For you, my lieutenant.
Your memoir, Sergeant? What is it?
Not only what you ask for, a file on one of our more recent unsolved murders.
Get it out of here. Get it out of my sight.
Huh? Hey, Danny, you sick or something?
Oh, all right. All right, leave it.
I also have here in my pocket the dope you wanted on Dr. Robbie McClure. Here, read it.
Talk it to me, son. I'm sick of reading.
There are some interesting items, Danny, about the good doctor. Item. Friends, numerous and friendly, all with alibis. Item. Relatives, none. The doctor was a lonesome man.
Are your wife and kids, Tartaglia?
Oh, great, Danny, just great. Hey, you should see the latest, little Christina.
I bet she's a doll. Go on with the items.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Item. And this is the one I think will interest you, Danny. On June 30th, Dr. Robbie McClure made a deposit in the Corn Exchange Bank in Bronxville. 10,000 crisp, cool, clean dollars.
June 30th, huh? Now you can talk to me about the recent unsolved murder.
As follows. A man named Martin James was murdered in his Sutton Place penthouse apartment at a party night of June 29th.
Yeah.
He was asked to step outside and he was murdered. Martin had a gun. He fired one shot. The bullet from Martin James' gun was never found. We figured it took off across First Avenue.
Tartaglia, there's a doctor's patient card over on the table over there. Tell me what it says on it.
Sure, Danny, sure. Says, Dorothy Rivers, June 29th.
See a name like that on the James guest list?
Ah, wait a minute, Danny. Yeah, here it is, Dan. Dorothy Rivers, in an alphabetical list with a lot of other girls.
Is your address there?
All the girls have the same address.
What? Say that again.
They all have the same address. The Tony Seville Model Agency.
Tartaglia, here's a fin. Buy your doll, Christina, a doll or something.
Oh, thanks, Danny, thanks. But there's something I think you should know.
About Christina?
About Dorothy Rivers. The records say she never showed up at that party. She was never there at all.
Tony Seville paid rent for his model agency in the Empire State Building. For this, he received the privilege of maintaining a 10-room suite on the 40th floor and decorating it with orchids and genuine neutrils. The other decorations were too numerous to mention. Delicate shadings of blonde and brunette. When they crossed their legs, the silk whispered. I started to whisper back, but a scented haze with magenta fingertips beckoned me into an inner office. She closed the door behind her, and all I was left with was a pork barrel in a double-breasted pinstripe named Tony Seville.
My secretary whispered you are a policeman. How have I trespassed? I parked my car incorrectly, perhaps. I forgot to curb my dog.
Let's stop rubbing noses, huh?
I beg your pardon?
Let's put it this way, simple and blunt. There's some questions I want you to answer for me.
You must have a dull profession, asking questions. Very well. Ask a question.
Mr. Seville, your agency supplied a half dozen models to a party at the home of Martin James. Said party a little over a month ago, June 29th. Said home a penthouse on Sutton Place, right?
Possibly right. However, don't underline your details with a sneer. My agency furnishes models as decorative baubles to any social function.
One of your decorations on the evening I'm interested in was named Dorothy Rivers. How do I get in touch with her?
You're a detective. Detect.
What's her address, Seville?
May I suggest a dragnet, detective, or any of the numerous machinations you police are oh so adept at.
Her address, Seville. Where do I find her?
You should be told. We only give a model's address to an approved client. I don't approve of you.
Look, kid, sometimes I can forget I'm a cop. I can forget right now.
I think you mean it.
Yeah, try being cozy for one more second.
I don't know where Dorothy Rivers is. I haven't seen her a month.
You can do better than that.
The day after the party, she phoned. She said she was going on a vacation.
You're doing fine, Seville. Keep it up.
There's nothing more. I tried to get in touch with her several times since. She checked out of the hotel. She left no forwarding address.
You're telling the truth, aren't you, Seville?
The truth is this, as far as I know and care. Dorothy Rivers could be dead.
Beginning at the 40th floor, I picked petals off a tired daisy. At the 38th, Dorothy Rivers was dead. 37th, she wasn't dead. 36th, dead. 35th, not dead. I don't remember how it came out, because when I got off at the ground floor and walked into the yellow heat of 34th Street, a character stopped me by tapping me lightly on the leg with the front bumper of his cab. The character was the character named Irv Newman.
Don't look so scared, Danny. Brakes, I got. I could stop this cab on a thin latke.
Latke schmatke, so long as I got my health.
You're charming, Danny. Absolutely charming. Hey, told me at headquarters I'd find you around here. I got something for you.
One of Rose's blenders?
Maybe better than that yet. You know that girl he was asking me about? The one I picked up with Dr. McClure, the professional man?
What about her?
I spotted her for you, Danny.
Where? Tell me where.
So let me tell you. Happens I got a friend, Danny, a truck driver. He's a teacher of a fella. His name is Clem. Every morning gives me a push with the truck so I can start this lousy hack.
Where did you spot the girl, Irv?
So I'm telling you. While Clem is pushing me with his truck and I'm gliding along in my hack like in a gondola, I see this girl coming out of building.
What building?
6 West 23rd Street. So I turn around, I wave to Clem. He should stop already. Danny! Danny, didn't let me finish!
Miss Rivers?
Who are you?
I want to talk to you, Miss Rivers.
By what right? I don't know you. Get away from here. Get away.
Let's go inside, Miss Rivers.
Who are you? What do you want?
I'm Danny Clover. I'm a police detective, Miss Rivers. Been through a lot to get to you. We'd get along a lot better if you'd just settle down.
Why do you want to see me?
I've read somewhere that grief can make a woman even more lovely. You look like you've been grieving.
Don't be clever with me. I'm sick of clever men.
Maybe I can help you.
You, a policeman?
Me, a policeman.
Oh. Well, it's all over now, isn't it, Mr. Clover?
Just about.
You want to know what happened at Martin James' party, isn't that it?
The guest list said you were invited, but you weren't checked off. That mean you weren't there?
I was there. Through the back entrance, Mr. Clover, because he said that was the way it should be done.
Who? What should have been done that way?
Look, Mr. Clover, I'll tell you what happened. I owe it to myself to tell you what happened. I'm tired of pain.
That's it, huh? Blackmail.
Let me tell you from the beginning what happened. Perhaps you'll even believe me.
You'd be surprised, Miss Rivers. Policemen can believe the truth.
Martin James was a man who made investments in all sorts of deals, a kind of silent partner. One of the partners was a man named Fletcher.
Man with a goatee?
He manufactured toys, Mr. Clover. I went to the party with him. Mr. Clover.
What's the matter?
Mr. Clover! The window!
He's gone. Who was it? Who did you see?
Maybe
you should have told me his name, Miss Rivers. Now you don't owe anybody anything.
Even as a coroner, I say it's a shame, Danny. Such a beautiful girl. Shame.
Yeah, it's a shame. What I've been waiting for is your report.
Yeah, Dorothy Rivers. Age about 24. Bullet entered left sternum, pierced pericardium. That's the heart, Danny.
Hmm.
Dead on arrival.
Dead all?
This girl was shot once before. She's got a healing wound that... Well, it looks mighty like a bullet wound. It's right here, Danny.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes it all add up. That makes it add up just fine, Corner. Neat. Real, real neat. Hello, Fletcher. There's a friend, Fletcher. The payoff goes on just the same. Tonight, kid, 9:00. So long, Fletcher. It took me 10 minutes to get to the Park Avenue palace that Fletcher had built out of psychological toys for kids. Across the street, I took a plant behind a fat, uniformed doorman who kept looking at me out of the corner of his fat eyes as if he were terribly sorry a thing like me had ever happened under his gilt-fringed canopy. At 8:30, the lights in Fletcher's crystal chandelier began to go out in sections. In 5 minutes, he was on the street, hailing a cab. I tossed a nickel to my fat doorman, hailed a cab of my own, and tailed Fletcher to an office building I'd been in once before. I watched him slip Pippet a bill and then walk down the corridor to a self-service elevator. I thought it'd be nice if he had company on his lonesome ride. He didn't.
Police! Why am I constantly surrounded by police?
Maybe because you bring sunshine into my drab life, Fletcher. You know how to work this thing?
Well, of course. It's nothing but a toy.
Allow me, anyway. It's the fourth floor you want, isn't it?
Well, no, not at all.
Humor me, Fletcher. Let's make it 4. right down this hall. 438, Dr. McClure's office. That's where you want to go, isn't it, Mr. Fletcher?
There are obviously some titillating gyrations going on in that mechanical policeman's brain of yours. You will reveal them to me, please?
I was waiting for you to ask me that in just that way. Here we are. After you, Mr. Fletcher.
Oh, thank you.
Now I reveal the payoff money, Fletcher. Give it to me.
Of course. I see. I thought it was curious that I should have to keep paying blackmail to a dead man. Dr. McClure is dead, isn't he?
The money, Mr. Fletcher. It's hard for me to say please.
But here you are. $1,000. You'll want it weekly, I presume, just as I paid it before?
That's cheap, isn't it, Fletcher, to buy off the electric chair? It's quite a toy, too, I hear.
Yes, quite. Then you know, of course, that Dorothy Rivers and I murdered Martin James.
Uh-huh.
Oh, he deserved it, you know. He swindled me out of a good deal of money.
What was Dorothy Rivers to you?
Now, you're talking like a policeman again. Dorothy Rivers was a toy, expensive and fragile. It made her all the more desirable. That and the fact that I could make her do anything I liked.
Could you bring her back to life?
What?
Hey.
No, don't get up, gentlemen. As long as I was eavesdropping, it makes me less of a lady.
That gun's not becoming either, Nurse Elliot.
Put it away, my dear. Toys like that make me nervous.
I prefer this pose. Now, what were you saying, Lieutenant?
Now that you're here, I've got even more to say.
As a nurse, I'm a humanitarian, Lieutenant. You've got a minute more saying time.
A man should never lie under the circumstances, huh? And if I told you this, if I told you that you were the blackmailer instead of Dr. McClure, what would you say?
I'd say you were telling the truth.
What? Then I've been paying all that money to this...
Temper, Mr. Fletcher.
Well, Dr. McClure took the initial $10,000, all right, but the nurse here kept right on blackmailing you and Miss Rivers in the doctor's name. McClure found out, so he had to die.
All through, Lieutenant.
Not quite, nurse. After the blackmail, you had to kill Miss Rivers because she was about to talk to me.
Now, Lieutenant.
One more thing. If you kill me, the payoff stops. Consider it, Miss Elliot. I got $1,000 in my pocket. Half yours, half mine. It could go on and on. We could still make Fletcher pay. Think about it, Miss Elliot.
Put the money on the table, Lieutenant. Half yours, half mine.
All right. On the table.
Thanks. I'll take mine. Now.
Yeah, now, Nurse Elliot.
I'll kill you! I'll kill you!
Don't push her out, nurse. Drop it. Drop the gun. Yeah, thanks.
I'll lift it up for you, Lieutenant. I'll get the gun.
Lift this, Fletcher. Got any smelling salts for Fletcher, nurse? It took three police officers to carry Nurse Elliot away. She tore at their faces and screamed in a language she hadn't picked up in medical books. Fletcher? He was different. He settled himself in the Black Mariah, pulled out a solid gold yo-yo, and played with it all the way down to headquarters. Broadway's happy now. It's got on the carnival clothes it wears every night, and the midway boils with roustabouts and yokels and hurdy-gurdy sounds. It's a jack-in-the-box, and it's a clown. It's a shining girl on horseback, or it's a geek with no arms, no legs, and no heart. It's Broadway, the gaudiest, the most violent, the lonesomest mile in the world. Broadway, my beat.
Broadway's My Beat, with Larry Thor as Detective Danny Clover, is produced and directed by Gordon T. Hughes, with script by Morton Fine and David Friedkin. Musical direction is by Lud Gluskin. Be sure to join us next week, same time, same station, for Broadway's My Beat. America can be proud. America is proud of the young men of our armed forces. Painstakingly trained as specialists in many fields, these servicemen will be the leaders in tomorrow's civilian life. Educational advantages open to today's servicemen are unparalleled if you can qualify. Look into the volunteer enlistment program now. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And that was Broadway Is My Beat from 1949. Now let's listen to a little science fiction. This is from the episode, this is from the series 2000 Plus. It was on briefly in the 1950s, or maybe just 1950. It's called The Brooklyn Brain.
The thing about Joe is, he really is a smart guy. It takes a smart guy to be that stupid.
2000 Plus. Science fiction adventures from the world of tomorrow, the years beyond 2000 A.D. 2000 Plus presents The Brooklyn Brain.
Joe, I want to thank you for a very nice evening.
The pleasure was all mine, Clarice.
I'd have you come up, only it's after 12 and Pa's asleep.
That's all right.
Well, good night, Joe.
Clarice?
Yeah, Joe.
You had a good time, huh? I mean, really?
Good night, Joe.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Clarice. I got something to ask you.
No.
No what?
No kiss. I gave you one in the helicopter bus. I am not distributing my favors with largesse.
Boy, you certainly know big words.
It's because I try to give myself culture. Every day in the facsimile newspapers, I do the crossword puzzle.
Well, sure, Clarice. I think that's fine. Only I got something to ask you.
I told you.
That isn't what I mean.
Something else?
Clarice, will you marry me? I mean, that is... Will you?
This is so sudden.
Gee, I've known you 3 years. That ain't so sudden.
Well, a girl likes to get proposals, but matrimony, oh, that's a very important thing. It should not be entered into lightly.
I got a good job, a good future.
It isn't that, Joe.
What isn't that?
I mean, oh, like they say in psychology.
I don't know what you're talking about, Clarice.
That's what I mean, Joe. You don't understand things like psychology. I always read the Handy Hints for Mental Health column. It's written by a psychologist. From such pursuits, I have learned that culture is what counts in life or marriage. The partners have to have a mental affinity for each other.
Mental?
Take Sam Witzenberg. He knows about music. Or Fred Daniels. He knows about art. Or take Harry Lester. He knows economics.
He knows economics? I had to loan him $5.
What has money got to do with it?
Huh?
Joe, leave it, not quarrel.
Yeah, but I was...
You have paid me a very high honor by asking me to be your wife. But I can't say yes.
Oh, you mean...
On the other hand, I didn't say no. I can't pretend I don't like you, Joe. You're basically a nice boy. Only if... Oh, if you'd only get some culture, learn about things so we could have something to discuss, to talk about.
Art, music, economics...
Or similar high-class subjects. Joe, see what you can do.
Okay, Clarice. I'll try.
And then I'll let you know.
Sure.
And, Joe...
Yeah?
In light of the circumstances, I rescind my previous refusal.
What does that mean?
It means you can have a good night kiss.
Are you ready, Carl?
Yes, Professor.
Now, remember, after I throw the switch, it will take several seconds for the accumulator to build up. When the red light on the control panel flashes, you throw your contact lever.
I understand.
Oh, all right. All right. One, two, three. It's working, Professor. It's working.
Good, good. Excellent. Try it again. Wonderful, wonderful. All right, Carl, turn it off. Now, I've checked every dial, every meter as the machine was running, and they all coordinated precisely.
Then it will work on a human being.
Are you sure enough to let me try it on you?
Well, it isn't that, Professor. It's just that
you kind of need me to help you run the machine.
Oh, yes. Yes, I understand, Carl. And since I am the inventor, it would also be foolish for me to volunteer to be the first human guinea pig. Well, obviously, we need someone else to try it on.
And that's right, Professor.
Imagine. 11 years' work. Here is a machine that takes a tape recording of a human voice reading facts, figures, or anything, and transforms it from sound waves into electrical waves. Then, through electrodes attached to a human head, charging that brain with the waves so that automatically the person getting the electrical shock has information charged into his memory.
It will be a boon to education. Oh. People won't have to go to school anymore. Your brainwave machine will just charge their brains with anything they want to know.
Thank you. Well, there's a lot of experimenting we have yet to do, but so far as we can know up to this moment, the machine should work, I hope.
Now, whom are you going to try it on?
Oh, yes, whom? Well, we'll run an ad. We'll try and find someone, not too bright, but someone we can try to transform into a mental giant.
Hello. Yes, sir, this is Joe. We sent him 6 dozen boxes like he ordered. 10-day billing. Yes, sir, I'll attend to it right away.
Flora, take the letter. The boss ain't got a check from St. Louis and he's mad.
It doesn't pay to be mad. It's not good for customer relations. To whom is the letter going?
Dear sir.
Dear sir who? Aren't you feeling well?
Gosh, I don't know, Flora. I guess my mind ain't on my work.
Where is it?
I'm going to Clarice's Thursday night for dinner.
She's your girl. And she'll make you happy. Be happy.
But she's having Sam Witzenberg for dinner, too, and he's got culture.
You got a job.
Flory, you're a smart girl. You know how to find things in the files. Tell me, how do I learn about things? How do I get culture?
Study.
How much time have I got? Thursday is 3 days from now. What can I learn in that time?
Not culture.
That's what I mean. I'm licked before I start.
I have a teacher.
That's expensive.
So stay a bachelor.
But I don't want to.
Oh, look. Here's a newspaper. I'll turn to the educational section. Let me see. Here it is. French. Well, I'm French.
What would I do with French?
What do you do with culture after you get married?
Look, I'm
only trying to be helpful.
Go on, Flora. What else is there?
How to hypnotize in 9 easy lessons.
Hey, that's interesting.
If you learn how to hypnotize, I don't work for you anymore. Oh, let's see. What's this? Be a mechanic. Learn the soul of a machine. Soul of a machine? Crazy. Oh, here's another ad.
Well, what does it say?
Let me see. If you would like to learn any subject in the world without effort and are willing to volunteer for a scientific experiment, write to Box 1934, the Facsimile Times.
Hey, I don't like that volunteer for scientific experiment part.
But it also says, if you would like to learn any subject in the world without effort.
Do you think I should write them?
All you lose is a stamp. Use a company stamp, you'll lose nothing.
Okay. So since I'll never get culture just wishing for it, take a letter. Dear sir.
We starting that again? Dear sir who?
Dear sir, Box 1934, the Facsimile Times. In response to your advertisement, permit me to say that I would very much like...
Carl, have you read these letters from people who want to volunteer for our machine?
All 6 of them.
Do you think it's wise to take people of such mentality?
Well, it would be a good test for the machine.
Yes, but almost any change would be an improvement for them, judging from the letters.
Whatever else may be said, Professor, the people who wrote those letters are human beings.
Yes, I suppose so.
And we need a human being to test with. After all, so far, the only living thing we have used was a dog.
Ah, but the dog lived. It proves the machine's electrical charge in the head does not kill.
The charge doesn't kill, but does it force knowledge into the brain? We beamed a recording of the Einstein theory into the dog. But the dog can't talk. What good is it to him?
But, Carl, doesn't it give you satisfaction to know that because of our invention, there is one dog in this city who actually knows the Einstein theory? Did any dog know the theory before our invention?
No.
All right. So we have reason to believe the machine will work. That is why we are looking for a human being, just to be sure.
But which one of these letters, which one of these people shall we take?
Well, whichever one has the greatest need for knowledge.
They all need it.
Yes, but I mean, whichever one believes he needs it most. That person will have an incentive to cooperate with us.
I see. Well, in that case, this one.
Flora, look. I got a letter. They selected me.
Congratulations.
It says here, please choose your subjects. Art, music, economics, that's for me.
You should also add another subject. How to get St. Louis to pay its bill.
That ain't culture.
Who says a lady's garment business is culture?
Gosh, Flora, you know what I mean. Like Clarice says, there's more to living than just having a job.
You ever try living without a job?
Art, music, economics. I'll show Sam Witzenberg he's not the only one who knows those things. I'll show Clarice, too.
Should I call the number on this letter and make an appointment for you?
Would you, Flora? Gee, thanks a lot.
Okay. Hello? I'm calling for Mr. Joe Martin. You sent him a letter about... Yeah, that's it. Yeah, he'd like an appointment. Today? Oh, Joe, is today all right?
The sooner the better.
Mr. Martin is in conference now, but I believe it could be arranged. Yeah. Art, music, economics. No, no, you pick one for today. To him, it makes no difference. Yeah. Thank you.
Well?
Here's the address. After 12 o'clock today, you'll have culture.
Now, Mr. Martin, if you'll just lie down here on this surgical table.
Surgical table? I didn't come for an operation. I came for an education.
Oh, and you shall get one, my boy. You shall get one. After today, you'll be an expert on art. You know, painting and sculpture and all that sort of thing. Lie down, please.
What are you going to do?
Well, you see, Mr. Martin, you have brain waves.
I have?
Everybody has.
You see, the brain gives off power. That's why. Now, what we do, well, to describe it simply, is play a recording of some subject you want to learn. Now, the sound waves are transformed into electrical waves and are charged into your brain. The result is, you have the knowledge impressed into your mind. Isn't that wonderful?
I just remembered I got another appointment.
Oh, no, no, no.
Mr.
No.
Martin, in your letter you said you wanted to show your girl that you could learn things, be smart, get culture.
Where did I put my head? Here or there?
Your head, up here. Your feet, down there. Splendid, splendid. Now, Carl, attach the electrodes to his head, will you?
Yes, Professor.
Will it hide?
You will never know what hit you. I mean, no, not at all, not at all. Just relax, Mr. Martin.
Everything is ready, Professor.
All right, Carl. One, two, three. Now, it's just warming up, Mr. Martin. Don't be so nervous.
No, sir.
Shall I start the recording now?
In one moment. You see, Mr. Martin, Carl will start the recording that he dictated this morning, and then I'll charge the knowledge into your brain. You see? Begin the recording.
Yes, Professor.
Among the new school of paintings which have excited modern critics and which are likely to have a profound effect upon future interpretive forms, the new circular school of impressionistic painting is outstanding.
Now, for the charge.
Employing vibrant...
How is he, Professor? Is he all right?
Oh, he's a little glassy-eyed.
Maybe we'd better stop the experiment.
No. We'll try it once more. Only speed up the recording so we can charge his brain more quickly.
All right, if you say so. Here goes.
Coordinate relationships which stimulate the senses and excite the imagination. The circular school manages to get around traditional obstacles of comprehensibility. Remember the exponents of the circular school of impressionistic painting, Daguerreau and Martinelli.
Now, the charge.
Another school which has managed to retreat...
That's enough, Carl. Shut up the equipment.
He is alive, isn't he?
I think so. Mr. Martin. Wake up, Mr. Martin. He's coming too.
What happened? Is it over?
Yes, that's all for today.
And I got culture?
So far as we know, everything seemed to work.
I got a headache, too.
Would you like a glass of water?
No, I think I better go now. I gotta get back to work. So long, fellas.
Professor, should we have let him go like that?
Let's look out of the window. Ah, there he is. Mm. Just came out of the door onto the street.
He's a little wobbly. Maybe a cop will think he's drunk.
Frankly, I'm a little worried about him. I wonder if the experiment really worked.
I'm worried about him, too. Because even if the experiment did work, we speeded the record up so fast. Good heavens, Professor, what if he ends up talking like Donald Duck?
Oh, Sam, you play the piano so beautifully.
Sam Witzenberg is not known as the Beethoven of Brooklyn for nothing.
I know exactly what you mean. When Myrtle Baker said you look like a bum, you never got a haircut, I said it's because you're artistic. Not getting a haircut, I mean. Oh, excuse me, there's the doorbell.
More company?
It's probably Joe.
That peasant.
Now, Sam, don't you and Joe start anything.
Hello, Clarice.
Come in, Joe.
Nice party.
I hope you like it, Joe.
Clarice, have you made up your mind yet?
Made up my mind?
You know, Clarice, about us.
Joe, this is not the place to pursue that question.
Well, I just thought that maybe if you...
I don't know yet, Joe. Come into the party.
Sure, Clarice.
Well, if it isn't Joe. How are you, Joe?
Hello, Sam.
Sam was playing the piano.
Yeah, I heard.
Read any good books lately, Joe?
Well, we're taking inventory at the store, and I've been kind of busy.
Yeah, Joe works very hard.
A hard head? You gotta work hard, eh, Joe?
The only reason you got a soft head is you got so much hair on it, it's like a mattress.
But, Clarice says it's artistic.
Clarice says... Did you say that?
Well, Joe, I meant he looks like an artist. Artists wear long hair.
And speaking of artists, Joe, what do you think of the new secular school of impressionistic painting?
Do you think
the dynamism of the blues is more effective than the interpretive qualities of the vibrant yellows?
Well, the real...
Sure, Joe. You're absolutely right. By the way, Clarice, how about you and I go to the Arts Institute tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, that's very nice, Sam. But Joe, what's the matter?
Sure. Go with him to the Art Institute. Maybe he'll get a job.
They'll use them as a hair mop to dust the paintings with.
Joe.
You want to know what I think about the new circular school of impressionistic paintings? I'll tell you. I think the brushwork of Daguerreau is infinitely superior to the technique of Martinelli, but that the interpretive approach of both of them is immature.
Joe.
You're so smart, Sam Witzenberg. Let me ask you a few questions. Why does Gregory Thompson, the British Impressionist, conceive all legendary characters in his paintings as cubistic? Why?
Well, it's because, why,
Sam?
I don't know.
Sam, you don't know? You don't know they're cubistic because Thompson is a cubist and not a circular school at all? You didn't know that, huh?
But I...
You're a blockhead. So you of all people should know a cubist.
Now, let me tell you something else. The important news in art circles is the recrudescence of 19th century painting with particular emphasis on the portraits of that period. In fact, I think I will go myself tomorrow to the Art Institute and just look at that 19th century stuff. Would you like to come, Clarice?
Joe.
Okay. Now, we can't go tomorrow. It's Friday. I gotta finish inventory.
Oh, that's all right, Joe. We'll go Saturday. Anytime you say, Joe.
Okay. But you only go with me to the Art Institute, you understand?
Oh, yes, Joe.
So, what are you gonna do tomorrow, Sam?
I think I'll get a haircut.
Already for a morning's work. Where's that file from St. Louis?
You feeling all right, Mr. Martin?
Great. Like $1,000,000.
All from culture?
Flora, you should have been there. I was so smart, the words were so big, even I couldn't understand what I was saying.
That's some education you got.
Science is wonderful. Imagine those professors doing what they did to me. They shoot me full of brainwaves. One minute I'm a dope, and the next minute I'm an expert on...
Art? Music? Economics? Which one is it?
I don't remember.
That's not good.
Let me think. Sam was there. Art. It must have been about art because tomorrow I'm taking Clarice to the Art Institute.
If you're going there, you really must have said something.
I know, but I can't remember what it was. Flora, ask me some questions. Maybe it'll come back to me.
Why do you like pictures?
I don't know.
Yesterday I saw a picture in a magazine. Looked like four soap boxes in the junkyard. It was called Sunset in Hawaii. Magazine said it was a cubist picture. Does that make sense to you?
No.
Couldn't you explain it even if you couldn't understand what you were saying?
No.
You need another shot in the head.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Flora, call the professors and make me another appointment. I gotta take Clarice to the Art Institute tomorrow. And I can't remember anything at all.
Now, Mr. Martin, please don't be so nervous. Just answer my questions.
But she's my girl. I'm finally making progress, and this has to happen.
Yes, Carl, put on the recording again. Let Mr. Martin hear it.
Yes, sir.
No obstacles of comprehensibility. Among the leading exponents of the circular school of impressionistic painting, Daguerreau and Martinelli are perhaps best known. Another school which has managed to retain some influence on contemporary trends, despite the vigorous onslaught of the impressionists, is that group best exemplified by the work of Gregory Thompson, who's an impressionist.
There, now, you remember that, don't you?
I don't remember it, and I don't understand it.
But we charged your brain with that information.
You charged it, you try to collect it. I don't know where it is.
Carl, I'd like to talk to you alone for a moment. Excuse us, Mr. Martin.
Yeah, sure.
You're sure the machine worked properly when we experimented on him?
When I dismantled the machine this morning, everything was perfect.
But what could have happened?
A apparently it makes only a brief impression on the brain, about 24 to 36 hours.
Oh, that's terrible.
What's terrible about it? At least we're on the right track. In a year or two, we'll perfect it so people can remember all the time.
People can learn things even if we don't perfect the machine. But what I most regret is there's no longer a dog in the whole world who knows the Einstein theory.
Well?
I'm sorry, Mr. Martin, but obviously the experiment wasn't as successful as we had hoped it would be.
Well, then give it to me again. Professor, I just gotta know about art. I'm taking Clarice to the Institute tomorrow.
Couldn't you take her to a movie instead?
But I'm not afraid anymore. Put those things on my head again. Give me a million volts. I like it.
Well, I'm afraid that's impossible. You see, we dismantled the machine.
Huh?
We're moving it to a laboratory upstate. It will take at least a month until we put it together again.
A month? But tomorrow...
I'm sorry, Mr. Martin.
Clarice won't marry me now.
Hello, Joe. You're right on time for our trip to the Institute. Oh, I'm so excited. Come in, Joe.
Hello, Clarice.
We'll see all the pictures and you'll explain them to me, won't you, Joe?
Clarice, there's something I want to tell you.
Yes, Joe.
It's about my culture, about what I said about art the other day.
Oh, Joe, you were wonderful. I thought Sam Witzenberg had dropped dead. You know what? After you left, he said you knew more about art than anybody he ever knew.
He said that?
And you were so masterful when you told him you were taking me to the Institute.
I was?
Oh, Joe, I got something to tell you.
You have?
I made up my mind. Joe, don't you understand? I made up my mind. I accept your proposal.
You mean you marry me?
That's right, Joe. You got culture. We'll have a mental affinity.
Clarice, listen. Let's get married right away, today. Let's not even go to the Art Institute.
Oh, but Joe...
I'll take a leave of absence. We'll go away on a honeymoon for a month.
A month?
A whole month. And then when we get back, then we got time for culture. I promise you, after 1 month, I will absolutely be charged with culture.
Oh, Joe, this is so sudden and so romantic. Oh, but I don't have a trousseau. I need clothes.
Look, I work in the ladies' garment business. I'll go to the store. I'll get you all the clothes you need. Only let's get married and not go to the Art Institute.
Oh, Joe, you're so smart. You think of everything.
I do?
I'll bet you even know the Einstein theory.
Next week, 2000 Plus presents a thrilling melodrama of adventure and terror. Be sure to listen. 2000 Plus is produced by Dreyer and Winolson Productions, Incorporated. In today's cast, Bryna Rayburn portrayed Clarice and Flora, Gilbert Mack was Joe, William Keane was Sam, and Mercer McLeod was the professor. The orchestra was conducted by Emerson Buckley. Music composed by Elliot Jacoby. Sound, Walt Shaver and Adrian Penner. Engineer, Ed Formica. This is Ken Marvin speaking. Program came from New York.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.